for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 23rd, 1987. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting. Being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
Well, bless the Lord. I used to, with fear and trembling, do what I'm going to do this afternoon. But I'm kind of getting over that a little bit. I never really thought that I would ever come here and that I would ever actually be the teacher teaching. But over the last couple of years, or maybe a little longer, 4 or 5 years, the Lord has opened our understanding to different portions of the Word and things in the Scriptures that He's brought to us by revelation to our own hearts and lives, or by things that have happened to people that we've been working and dealing with. And Irma and I are getting so we can... She's always been better at this than I have been, but I'm improving, I think. Being able to teach, I could talk to two or three or four people, sit and talk, but to get up before a crowd and expound on things wasn't quite as easy, but as we work at it and do it, we get to where it doesn't bother us so bad. But the Lord has showed us different things in the Scriptures, and it's kind of hard to, when there's a short time like this, in any camp meeting, really, to teach what we feel should be given to the people. Now, this afternoon, I actually am going to have two or three studies in this one teaching this afternoon. We could take and make three out of it very easily. You need to hear. We need to know. We need to understand. So we're going to try and put it together a little bit and not to be so short be a little bit of each in here. Now, there are two types of curses. And Brother Norman has been teaching us on one type of curse, the demonic curse. The curse that's put on us by witchcraft and sorcery. Curses of that type. But there's another curse that in the Scriptures. Now, this curse that Brother Norman's been speaking on is a demonic curse. But there's another curse in the Scriptures that's of God. And it's just as real. In fact, it's more real than the curses that the witches and satanic powers put on us. And we're ignorant. I was ignorant. And I believe some of you that are listening to me this afternoon or will hear this tape are ignorant of these curses that the Bible tells us about very plainly. And we do things and get ourselves into problems, and yet we're supposed to be Christians, and it's our own ignorance that's gotten us there because we haven't read the Word of the Lord. Or if we've read it, we've read it and haven't even seen what we are registered what we've read. Or we've been taught that everything in the Old Testament, and it's not all in the Old Testament, but what I'm going to use basically today happens to be, but I could go and use the New Testament, but in my opinion, there's not an Old Testament and a New Testament. I want to make that very clear to you. There is no such thing as an Old and New Testament. There is one book. It is the Word of the Living God. It is written. And there's not two books of the Bible. There are 66 divisions of the Bible. And those 66 divisions are divided into other divisions. But there's one book. And that's the Word of the Living God. It is written. But the majority of us who've been raised Pentecostal, and even who weren't Pentecostal, have been taught, if not in word, have been taught by just the way it was presented, that all we have to study is what's called the New Testament. And that is tradition, it's error, and fallacy. And if you want to get very technical, then the Bible is divided wrong. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament. They are not New Testament. Do you know that? They're not New Testament. The New Testament doesn't begin until Jesus came out of the tomb. Everything Jesus taught and did, he taught and did under what we call the Old Testament. And everything that he did up until the time he walked out of the tomb is Old Testament, if you want to be technical. And then from the moment he walked out of the tomb on, you can call that New Testament if you want to. So there's one book, so that's the way I look at it. And that's the way I believe the Lord looks at it. There's another teaching that we can deal with this afternoon that is in the line of curses also, but we're not going to get into that. And that teaching is, don't bring an abominable thing into your house. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We will verify that. And then you've heard different ones speak here this week already about bringing abominable things into your house. And we could spend this afternoon teaching on that subject. Irma can do it very well because she's the one who the Lord first gave the experiences to that brought us into this understanding of not bringing an abominable thing into your house. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 26, it says, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. So if you bring things that God says an abomination into your house, there's a possibility that you can become cursed and become like that abominable thing that you brought into your house. And those abominable things carry demonic powers, and they're found in all kinds of knickknacks and pictures and sun gods and Buddhas and Shinto temples. You'll find a lot of Shinto temples in your fishbowl, aquarium. You know that? Almost every aquarium's got a Shinto temple in it to a heathen god. So if you've got an aquarium in your house, you go home and get that thing out of your aquarium and pray over those fish and break the curse of that thing over that aquarium. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Where God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How ignorant we are. To Satan's wiles. And he takes us on every hand because we don't obey or search out and seek the word of the Lord. You say, oh, that's innocent. That don't hurt anything. No, but Satan thinks it hurts something. Satan takes his place of authority in your house because of that Shinto temple you've got in that aquarium for your fish. And he's got rights to your house. If you've got other things in your house that are dedicated or have been or of satanic origin or for satanic use, he has rights in your house in that area. And he can control your life in one way or another, to one extent or another, because of the rights and the powers that he has to come into your house because you have given him that right. You give Satan that right. Well, so he says here, not to bring in a curse abomination into your house, lest it be the cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it's a cursed thing. And in other places it says that you shall destroy them. Paul tells us that we're to destroy it and not burn it. And they took, what was it, $50,000 worth of silver? At the time that was calculated, it's worth a lot more than that now, but $50,000 worth of silver. It would have brought it if they sold it, and they took it out and burnt it in the middle of the street. I think it was Paul that did that. And that they burnt the fetishes, and they burnt the idols, and the scripture says that you're not to sell it. You're to destroy it. If you sell it to someone or give it to somebody, you're just giving them a demon. Say, oh, but that's worth the money. Well, Bible says you're to destroy it. You're not to sell it. You're not to give it away. I don't care if it's your heirloom. I don't care if it's your great-grandmother's. I don't care what it is, if it carries satanic powers, the scripture says, destroy it. That's what we're required to do. We're required to begin to be faithful to what the word of the Lord says, to obey the word of the Lord, to obey it. Okay, today, Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33. Verse 33 of Proverbs 3. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Whose curse? The curse of the Lord. Not Satan's, not the demons. The curse of the Lord. Not witchcraft, not sorcery. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. So if we want our habitation blessed, then we're to remove all the things that are cursed out of our habitation. And we're going to study today what God says is cursed, and that he curses in our lives, in our families, if we disobey his word. Leviticus chapter 18. You say, oh, but God's a loving God. He doesn't do that. God's a God of judgment. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, God's judgment and God's love are absolutely equal. You take the scales that they use to weigh gold, or any scales that will weigh feathers to the millionth of an ounce, and put God's love and God's judgment on it, and no matter how fine you define it and refine it, it will weigh perfectly, exactly the same. God's judgment and God's love will weigh exactly the same. They are equal. You said God's a God of love, love, love. He's a God of judgment, judgment, judgment. And they are equal. There's no difference. And it's up to us whether we come under his judgment or come under his love. As we rightly divide the word of the Lord and apply it to our lives. But most of us rebel against it. In fact, all of us do, really. Not most of us, all of us. Everyone. We have, and even yet still do, rebel against the word of the Lord. Even though we study, there are things in here that I'm not doing as the Lord would have me to do, because either I don't fully understand it, or the revelation of it hasn't been given to me. And I pray that as I understand and as the revelation comes, that I will make my life line up with the word of the Lord, with the plumb line. It is written. Then when Satan comes, he'll find nothing in us. Just as when he came, he could find nothing in Jesus. Because Jesus lined up with a plumb line, it is written. Not only did he line up, he was, it is written. But he also had, in his earthly life, he had to line up with it. And he did. And we're required to do the same. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1. Now, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now for some reason, which I don't think too much of it is the Lord, I'm reading what's known as the law of Moses. There is no such thing as the law of Moses. It's God's law. And God used Moses to speak it. God said, Moses, you speak it. But God said to do it. So it's not God, Moses speaking, it's not Moses' law, it's God's law. And Moses was his mouthpiece. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And after the doings of the land of sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. And neither shall ye walk in their ordinances, or their regulations, or their beliefs. You shall not walk in them or do them. You shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And then he goes on. We'll get to some of that later. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And say, God's a loving God. He would curse us. He wouldn't do that. Chapter 20, Exodus. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of sin, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And America's got all kinds of other gods. We were talking about them a little bit here with the men. Football, baseball, basketball, fishing, hunting, boating, pleasure. All America's got gods of all kinds. They're not an idol that they bow down to as such, and they're not called a god by name, but they're gods. And most of America has a god of one kind or another, tennis or golf or something else. The majority of America has at least one of those that's a god to them.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
There we come back to, we shall not have any of these things, these sun gods, these Buddhas, these Shinto temples, and lots of other things.
And God says, they're an abomination, and they're other gods, and we shall not have these other gods before him. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For, he says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, doing what? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me or that do not obey my word.
Which is a more literal translation.
Those that do not obey his word. So, the Lord says that he will visit unto the third and the fourth generation his curses upon those who disobey his word and do not keep it. You say, whoa, but that's Old Testament.
We don't have to pay attention to that. Jesus did away with that.
Did he?
We'll see before we're through. He did make a way out from it. That he did do. But he didn't do away with it.
I'm showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
So the Lord says if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And when we do, he'll show mercy unto a thousand generations. That puts us way out into the millennium. So I want God's blessing so that I have his mercy in my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, if God tarries, that we'll have the blessings of the Lord. So a thousand generations puts us out 40,000 years, approximately. So we need to desire and seek to have the blessing of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord in our lives. So here the Lord tells us that he visits to the third and the fourth generation, to those that disobey him. But then, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23. In a way, we would entitle this, The Sins of Our Ancestors, in one way, or we would entitle it, the Curses That We Put Ourselves Under Because We Disobey God. But over here in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2, it says, A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And that's approximately 400 years, 10 generations, that God says illegitimacy shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, who are the Amorites and the Moabites? Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 19, and we'll pick up another aspect of this 10-generation curse. And I'm of the opinion that everybody living is under this curse. I'm of the opinion that nobody knows what happened 10 generations ago in your family, and I'm of the belief that every living person is under the curse. Under these curses. Genesis. Well, I don't need Exodus. I need Genesis 19. And we want the verse 36, the last three verses here. Still haven't got it. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I want. What I should do here is find, what I want is page 18 in my Bible. That'll help me quicker than anything. If I just turn to page 18, then I'll have it. And I want verse 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare his son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare his son and called his name Ben-Ammoni, the same as the father Ammonites unto this day. So, that's who the Amorites, the Moabites are, who came under a 10th generation curse of a bastard. Now, also, they fell under another curse. They fell under the curse of incest. For this is also, they fall under the law of the curse of incest here. Relations with within the family carries a 10th generation curse of incest. And that's what we have, both incest and the curse of the bastard here before us. So we're going to look at some of these things here and find out where Genesis, Jeremiah 17, I want. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. We're going to look at some of the things that God says that we're cursed with because he has cursed us. Verse 5 of Jeremiah 17 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusted in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord's. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters that spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So the Lord says that that we're cursed if we put our trust in man, but we're blessed if we put our trust in the Lord. And we will not wither when the drought comes. We'll be able to stand in the strength of the Lord because we have his blessings upon our life. And when the drought comes, two kinds of drought. The drought, the natural drought, and then the spiritual drought. In the midst of the spiritual drought, if we're grounded in the Lord, we will stand and not be turned aside to one way or the other, because we are grounded and watered by the word of the Lord. In Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, it says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood, a coward." So we're cursed if we do the work of the Lord deceitfully, if we do it for our own gain, if we do it for our own benefit, then we're cursed by the Lord. And we're cursed if we're a coward in the things of the Lord. The Lord expects us to stand up, be counted, and do what is needed when the time arises. We don't go out and deliberately create something that will cause confusion or bring disfellowship or something, but if something arises, the Lord expects us with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to stand up and not be a coward in declaring the things of the Lord. So, there's two areas, three areas, four areas already where we're cursed. two of them were cursed the third and fourth generation, the curses, the regular curses, and then the curse of incest and bastard to the 10th generation. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. And again the Lord is speaking here through Moses. And the Lord is saying, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." So the Lord sets before us an option. Two ways. Right or the left. The blessing or the curse. And it depends on us which we receive. Whether we receive the blessing or the curse. If we obey the word of the Lord, we receive the blessing. If we disobey the word of the Lord, God says that we're cursed. You're just cursed if you disobey the word of the Lord. God said it's just your curse. And most of us, all of us, have been living in one way or another under some of the curses. And we're still under them. We're all still under curses. Some of us more than others. But as we study the word of the Lord and come to an understanding of it, the Lord's made a way for us to come out from underneath these areas in our lives that we're bound by and that we're cursed by, so that we can have the blessing. We say, "Abraham's blessing is mine." Yes, the blessing is ours if we obey the word of the Lord and not have the curses. But if we obey the word of the Lord and we have the blessing is automatically ours. Abraham's blessing is mine. It's automatically mine. I don't have to ask for it. I don't have to decree it. I don't have to speak it into being, because it's automatically mine. Abraham's blessings is mine when I obey the word of the Lord. I don't have to worry about prosperity. I don't have to speak prosperity into being. Prosperity is mine if I live under the word of the Lord. Because God's blessing is prosperity. And that prosperity is mine as I obey the word of the Lord. And understand the things that God says I'm cursed with. And then if I repent of those things and turn my way and walk the other way so that I don't live under the curse. But that's up to me and you to do as we come into the rightful understanding of it. And then ask the Lord to help us to live by His word. Leviticus chapter 18. Now, I've asked these young people to be here this afternoon because they need to understand that God says that if we do certain things, He's going to put a curse on us. They need to understand that from the early age so that when they get to be our age, if the kingdom isn't here and by then, when they get to be our age, they'll have not had all the heartaches that we've had because we've walked contrary to the word of the Lord. That they understand so that they'll have a happy life, so that they'll not have heartaches and trouble in their married life and in their family and in these areas of their life as they obey the word of the Lord, as they understand these things. And mother and father needs to teach the children from a very, very early age before they go to school. They need to be taught some of these things that I'm going to talk about, and they need to be explained more fully to them so they understand what they are, so when they're confronted with them by their playmates and by kids at school, that they'll be able to know the word of the Lord and know that there's a curse that's going to come on them if they partake of what these other kids try to get them to be involved in. They'll know that there's a curse, and they'll say, no, I fear God, and I'm not going to do that. The Bible says that that's wrong, and I'm not going to be part of that, but they need to understand that so that when they're confronted with these things as children, the Bible says to teach them really from a time that they can understand. They need to be taught so that they hide the word of the Lord in their hearts, so that we hide it, they hide it in their hearts, so that they sin not against the word of the Lord. And then they'll always walk in God's blessing. Now, there's three areas here that I'm going to cover in this respect, and I'll show you why in a minute here. But we have Leviticus chapter 18, and we've already read the first five verses of this. Now, I'm going back. We're going to pick up with verse 6 here of chapter 18. And it says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. And it says, I am the Lord. Now, that is incest. And we have incest rampant in the household of faith today. How do I know? We pray for people. Incest is horrible in the household of faith. You say, that should not be. That's true, it should not be. But it still is. But this was never taught in any church I ever went to. I never heard it until I taught it myself. I'm the first person that I ever heard teach this out of my own mouth. That ought not be. This ought to be taught every place across the nation, in every church and in every Sunday school. This should be taught so that we don't have the problem with sex today that we've got with all the young people not only in high school and college, but in grade school, they're pregnant. Why? Because they've not been taught the word of the Lord. And that God says you're cursed with a curse. Let's start raising up a generation that'll stand and declare that Jesus is Lord of their life. A holy, righteous, clean generation, full of the Holy Ghost, moved by the power of the living God. Verse 7 says, the nakedness of thy father and nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. In other words, you're not to look on the nakedness of your mother or father. Or incest. Verse 19. Now, all these carry to that respect, but verse 19 says, I'm going to read I'll read verse 12. That's okay. That's got what I want in it. Some of the other verses have, but this starts out with it. It says, thou shalt not. That's the phrase I want. Thou shalt not. Verse 12 says that. Uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. That's incest. And that carries a curse to the 10th generation. For 10 generations, it carries the curse of incest. And you notice here, verse 13 says, thou shalt not. And verse 14 says, thou shalt not. And verse 15 says, thou shalt not. And 16 says, thou shalt not. And then verse 19 says, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she's put apart for her uncleanliness. That's the ministerial period. In other words, it says here that husband and wife shall not have sexual relations during the time of the ministerial period. God says that you shall not do it. Shall not. Now that's all he says here, just that thou shalt not. Now verse 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Homosexuality, lesbianism. God says, thou shalt not do it. Verse 23 says, thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself with. Neither shalt the woman stand before a beast. Bestiality. Bestiality. God says, you shall. But kids, even before they get to grade school, get involved in bestiality with the animal. And they need to be taught about that before they ever even go to kindergarten. They need to know all about that, what God says about it, so they will stay away from it. And Leviticus, I seem to be picking up a hum every once in a while. Is that coming through here? Okay, let's do away with this. Maybe that'll help. Okay. I want to go over to Leviticus chapter 20. That's just across the page here from where I was reading. Leviticus 20 and verse 9. Leviticus 20 and 9 says, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be put to death. So anybody, any man, woman, boy, or girl who curses his father or mother, the scripture says he shall be put to death. Verse 10 says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, they shall be put to death. Verse 15, I'm just picking these out because if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. That's bestiality. Verse 18 says, and if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, yet discovered her fountain, and uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, before it says you shall not. Here it says you're going to be cut off. Well, I wonder how the Lord cuts you off. You die an early age, that's how. You hit cancer of the womb, or cancer of the prostate, or some other female or And die before your time. The Lord cut you off in many ways. But the Lord says that you'll be cut off. So it must be very serious. But I was never taught anything about this ever. Verse 22 says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Doesn't ask you if you want to. Doesn't say, would you like to? Would you think about it? He says, do it. We have no option. You have no option. The word of the Lord says, do it. We've never been taught that. We've been taught, oh, think about it. Do it. But God says, do it. It's time we started doing. Verse 26 says, you shall be holy unto me. For I, the Lord, am holy and have served you, severed you from other people, that you should be mine. The Lord says that we're to be holy unto him, and we're to obey his word and keep the word of the Lord. Turn with me to Leviticus 27. What I want is Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. We've read previous, and we're going to read here. Verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen that put it to a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Then he said, Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. Cursed be he. Now, first of all, the Lord said in the first verses that we read, the Lord said, You shall not. He said, You shall not. Then he said, You shall be cut off or be put to death. Now he says, You're cursed. The Lord says this. You're cursed. He said, cursed be he that perverteth judgment. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. So we have here in verse 20 a 10-generation curse. We have in verse 19, is my understanding, a 3rd-generation curse. In verse 18, a 3rd-generation, or 3rd and 4th-generation. And here. But the Lord says we're cursed. It says, Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Or cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor. Cursed be he that taketh reward to murder or kill somebody. And then verse 26 says, Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. So the Lord says that we're cursed if we don't agree to do and confirm to do this. To keep his word, we're cursed for it. We're cursed if we disobey it, and then we're cursed if we don't do it, the Lord says. In Malachi chapter 2, it's time we begin to understand the judgment of God and begin to understand that God's a God of judgment and that His Word is His Word, and that's what we're governed by. By the word of the Lord. Malachi chapter 2. And, let's read verse 14 of chapter 1. Verse 14 of chapter 1 says, Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificed unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now, the word of the Lord came through Sister Mary this afternoon about not keeping our vows, about making vows to the Lord and then not keeping them. The Lord was displeased because we had made vows to the Lord and then we hadn't kept those vows, and He was displeased with it. And here is the same thing here. Here we pledge something to the Lord, to give to the Lord. In this case, they're referring and using animals in the as the example. They have decided to give the Lord an animal. And then they find another animal that isn't quite as nice as the one they decide to give to the Lord. So they keep the nice one and give the Lord the animal that is defected or has something wrong with it. And the Lord, that He will not accept that. He considers that a corrupt vow that's being filled, and you're better off if you didn't even keep the vow at all. You'd be better off than taking the corrupt thing and giving it to the Lord. But He says you're cursed. Because you've done that. Because you do it. So we must watch that we don't ever do a thing like that. So that we don't come under this curse of being a deceiver and bringing the Lord that which isn't the best. The Lord requires of us the best. Chapter 2 says, and this is unto the priest, but in reality, every male of every household is a priest unto the Lord. So this applies to every household as well as to the priesthood and the ministry. It says, Now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. So the Lord says, if we don't give glory to his name, he'll send a curse upon us for not giving glory to his name. And I will curse your blessings. So our blessings are cursed before we get them. He says, Yea, I have cursed them already because you don't believe it, because you don't lay it to heart. He says, I've already cursed your blessing because you don't believe what I'm telling you. Also over here in verse 9. let's read verse 8. Verse 8 says, Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Then he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And he says that we're already cursed with a curse because we haven't brought God the tithes and offerings that belong to him. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. I thank the Lord for the blessing. But for the first part of this chapter of 28 is the blessing that the Lord says bestow upon us. But for every blessing, there are four or five curses. And I thank the Lord for the blessing. This afternoon, we're studying the things that we're cursed by if we disobey the word of the Lord. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee, and they will overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Why? Why all these curses? Because we do not observe to do the commandments and the statutes and keep the word of the Lord. The Lord shall make the pestilent cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and thy earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. In the 30s, many of us can remember when the dust came down from heaven like water and sifted across the land, and sift came through our windows and through our doors. We taped them up and put things over them, and it didn't do any good. It just sifted in, and it was a half inch deep all over the floor of the house and an inch deep outside. It just sifted in and came down from heaven. And that could happen again. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with hemorrhoids, and with scab, and with itch, whereas thou canst not be healed. No cure for it. Science can do all they want. They can search for the cure for AIDS. No cure. God says it's a curse. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and with blindness, and astonishment of heart, heart trouble, mental problems. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thine oxen shall be slain before thy eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. My dad wouldn't. We had back in the 30s. I don't think Irma's dad would either. We said, no way. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue after you and overtake you, till you be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness, Thank the Lord that we serve the Lord here in joy and gladness. We praise the Lord in joy, and we worship Him in gladness. Hallelujah. And when you go home, you see to it, and all of us see to it, that we continue to praise the Lord in joy and gladness of heart. It says, for the abundance of all things. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and wonderful name, the Lord thy God, Jesus, the Lord, Jesus Christ is His name, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and thy plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, He will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Says the Lord will bring them upon us. So if we want to get out from underneath the plagues and the diseases, then we need to walk before the Lord with all that's within us. And He says, also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. And I'll tell you, almost everything you can think of is already written. I've already read it. But He says, in case I missed anything that's not in here, I'm going to bring that on you too, if you don't keep My word and obey My word. Them will the Lord bring upon thee until you are destroyed. God says that all these things that He puts on us, not Satan, because we disobey, but when they're put on us, then that gives Satan a right to us in those areas of our life. That gives him a right in that area of our life. And in the areas of our ancestors, where they've sinned, to the third, the fourth, the tenth generation. And I'm sure that some of these things run many, many times more than that amount of generations, because Satan's purpose is to somehow get you or somebody in your family to repeat that sin in your life or in their lives, so that thing will be perpetrated on down to the next generation. So it's almost a perpetual thing in our lives, these curses are, because Satan sees to it that they're reproduced in us. We're coming to an hour and a day and a time, we stand up in the name of the Lord and say, Satan, that's all the farther you're going, that's the end. Jesus is Lord, I'll live by His word, it is written such, and you have no more rights here. In Jesus' name, I take my place of authority in the name of the Lord, and I break the curses off of my family life, and I loose my family from your dominion and power. Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 3. And say thou unto them, the Lord says, Jeremiah, you say unto my people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of sin and or Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them. According to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. So the Lord says that if we search His word and walk according to His word and obey His word, then we will be His people and He will be our God. And that's what He's always wanted to be. He's always wanted a people who would obey Him, who would follow after Him, not because we have to, but because we want to. I want to follow after the Lord because I want to follow after the Lord. I want to obey the word of the Lord so I'll have His blessing. I want to be blessed by the Lord. I want the glory of the Lord to be manifested in our midst. I want the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost to flow and move amongst us. Speak the word of the Lord. We know that it'll become to pass because it's the word of the Lord comes. It is written, and we have the power and the authority by the word of the Lord to declare it to be so, and it will be so. Amen. We haven't come to that place, but I desire that we come to that place of the Lord where we say, rise, take thy bed and walk. Crippled arm, be straight. Be healed in the name of the Lord. Satan, I bind you. I put you underfoot. You have no more rights in this temple and in this house and in this place. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Be set free in Jesus' name. We've got to become a people that's righteous and holy, walking before the Lord in righteousness and holiness, so that the power of the living God can flow and move through us by the word of the Lord. And God will back up His word because we're a holy people declaring the word of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's the desire of my heart. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. All of these blessings shall overtake us. He'll set us on high above all those around about us, if we hearken to do his commandments that he commanded us here. And I have read the commandments of the Lord. But then here now, he lists the blessings. And I want the blessings. Abraham's blessings are mine, but they're only mine as I obey the word of the Lord. Prosperity is mine. I don't have to ask for it. It's mine. But it's mine only as I obey the word of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. Doesn't ask us if you want to. Doesn't ask us if we'd like to. I read it in a different place earlier. And here I'm reading it again. It says, do it. Doesn't ask me if I like it. Doesn't ask me if I rejoice in it. Doesn't ask me if it makes me feel good. Doesn't ask me anything about it. He said, do it. And if we don't obey the word of the Lord, then we come under the curses that I've already read. And there may be more that I haven't covered. You say, well, I thought when I got saved, all that got taken care of. When I got saved, all those curses and all that went away. Well, I wish that were true. I used to think, and I was taught by my heritage and by my raising and by the Bible school that I went to, that everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. But I found out that everything's not under the blood. I found out that I'm saved. Yes. My salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus. I found out that there's other entities and things in my life that I have to take care of individually so that I come out from under the curses that are in my life. And the bondages that Satan holds over my life because of things that I have done, got involved in, or things that my ancestors have gotten involved in. I didn't believe that a few years ago. Since then, the Lord has dealt with us, and by many circumstances, and I could stand here and enumerate them, many, many circumstances, many incidents that would prove what I'm saying. I'm not here to prove anything. I'm here to tell you what the word of the Lord says. The Lord has proved it to me, and I declare that God's word is sure and true. And it's up to us to obey it. You say, well, how do I get out from under these curses? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did it say? What did it say? What did it say? What did I just say? Well, it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Didn't it? God loved the world. Is the world saved? No. What's that? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish. For yet God gave his Son for the world. Say, well, what's that got to do with curses? Same thing with curses. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus was made a curse so that we don't have to bear the curses. But it doesn't say that just because he was made a curse, we're automatically taken out from underneath the curses. We have to apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13, the fact that Jesus became a curse to our life. We have to apply and appropriate it so that we can have the authority in the name of Jesus to break the powers of the curses that we are under because of our own sins or our ancestors' sins. Now, there's no way we can do anything about our ancestors. Catholicism is idolatry. And you can't pray for your dead ancestor. If your dead ancestor's alive, you can go to him and talk to him and try to help him. But you can't pray for your dead ancestor. But you can pray and ask the Lord, because Jesus became a curse, to present and bring up the sins of your ancestors where they have sinned, and this curse is perpetrated down through the family line, and you can take authority over that curse, and you can break the power of it off of your family line and off of you. Because Jesus became that curse that I don't have to bear it and you don't have to bear it. But we have to apply it and appropriate it. Just exactly like we have to take the blood of Jesus and apply it to our sins. We're not saved because Jesus died on the cross. We're saved because we apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus to my sins. Then I'm washed in the blood and cleansed from my sins. I have to take and apply and appropriate the fact that Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curses of my ancestors. I can break the power of those curses over my life and be set free from them and set my children free from them. I believe that I have authority to a degree to set my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren free in areas of these curses that I have committed or that my ancestors have committed. Now, if they commit something, then then they have to take care of that. That's the way I understand. But the curses, the things that I have done or my ancestors have done, I believe that I can stand between them and the Lord, and I can take and break the power of those curses in the name of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus hung on a tree and became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curses. And that's the authority that we use to break the power of the curses of our ancestors, the curses of the bastard, the curse of incest, the curse, these other curses that go back many years in our family lines. With a lot of these curses, especially the curses of witchcraft and serving other gods, there's a familiar spirit that travels with it. As well as the curse, there's a familiar spirit. There's also a familiar spirit that travels with lots of sicknesses that are inherent in a family line. Sugar diabetes, heart trouble, and other sicknesses that are inherent back through the family line. There is a familiar spirit that travels with that curse that comes down. And it may not visit everybody in the family, but it'll pick out a person in the family, and it will latch onto that person in the family, and they will be the one that's carrying the curse of it. And they'll have the heart trouble or the sugar diabetes or something. Or sometimes it's several in the family. But there's always at least one in the family that carries that down. The same thing with anger and rage or something like that, or alcoholism or divorce. Comes down and carried in the family line. And they say that he's a chip or she's a chip off the old block or something like that. Yeah. Chipped right on down. A demon come right on down, followed the family line down, and took up abode. They say you're just like your aunt or your grandmother or somebody. You act like her. Well, that evil spirit that left her when she died or left him has come down and taken abode in you. And you have inherited the curse of the family line. But Jesus said that he became a curse. It is written that Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear the curses. We can take and apply and appropriate that to our lives and break the power of the curse over our lives so that we're set free from them. Set free from the curse of the bastard, the incest, divorce, and these other areas of our lives that plague us and torment us. And I believe as we begin to come to a greater understanding of these things, that there will be an answer back in these areas for the diseases that's in the body of Christ today. That I believe that somehow most of the diseases are inherited through curses and through generation, coming down through the generations, that these curses and these sicknesses and diseases are. And as the Lord reveals His Word and we come to an understanding, He will bring a revelation and understanding so that somebody in the body of Christ will be able to rise up and say, such and such is such and such, and I break the power of that curse of cancer, I break the power of heart trouble, and there's the basic cause of it is so and so, and we'll know the basic cause, and we'll be able to stand and take authority and break these powers over. Now that's the way I believe that the Lord will do. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I believe, and until the Lord does different, well, I'm believing that He's going to raise up people full of the Holy Ghost with a revelation of Himself and the Word that will be able to discern these things and the causes of them. And then when we get to the cause of it and we're told about it, then we can turn from our wicked way and have the blessing and have health and strength instead of the curse. Well, we need to get out from under the curses. We need to break them. Well, Irma, you're going to say something here for a minute?
There's no question that in the body of Christ there's lots of sexual sins. We have to face up to it. We don't like to talk about it in church. It doesn't sound very churchy, does it? but we're seeing it flashed across the news media now. And I just saw something when he was speaking. I hadn't even thought about this before. It was in, don't even turn to it, just listen. When Lot's girls decided to get their father drunk on wine, that's when the sexual encounter of incest came about. I hear something. If you notice in Genesis 32, if you want to write that down, in 32, it says, come and let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him. See that? That we may preserve seed of our father. And on the news media, the very thing that started this encounter in Florida was dispersed by a drunken alcoholic. The newspaper said an alcoholic minister. I've heard that minister preach. I've heard him years ago preach under a tremendous anointing of the Lord. And you say, how can that be? Well, it has happened generation after generation. If you go back, and some of you old-timers will realize and remember the tremendous revival. I'm sure Brother Perry can remember in South America, the man from America that went down and had that tremendous revival and such miracles, and they crowded out the arena, and they had to get skip loaders in there to take away the wheelchairs and take away the crutches. There were so many miracles. And yet that man eventually died an alcoholic, didn't he? I have seen him stand up and prophesy and be drunk. Now you say that, oh, that could never happen. Oh, yes, it does. I could write, I'm sure, a best-selling novel, but I will never do it. But I have seen in the 55 years or so that we've been Christians, the many ministries that go down because of drinking. Now, let's look at something just a minute. This has been coming through my mind all morning. This is not even what I was even thinking about speaking on. And it's in Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker. Who does it mock? The Holy Spirit, doesn't it? And if you're praying for somebody and they begin to laugh, crazy laughter, most of the time they have been drinking wine before they were Christians. Or their fathers were alcoholics or winos. Most of the time, you children, listen to this. Serious business. Wine is a mocker to the Holy Spirit. And drinking of... There are so many Christians that drink wine, it makes my head spin sometimes. And they come in here and we have to get them to repent and get them to decide that wine is wrong to drink. They say, oh, Jesus made wine, and they go into all this. I tell you, wine is a mocker. It's going to get you into trouble if you drink wine. And strong drink will get you into terrible trouble because it is raging. It brings terrible anger and rage through you. How many have been ex-alcoholics in here or have drank a lot? When people get drunk, don't they get mean and ugly? And we have people come in here that have beat up their wives and everything when they were drunk. And I tell you, this is serious business. But wine led to sexual sin. I'm sure there's many other places, but I just saw that today, and I thought I would bring that up. It led to incest. And many a little girl has been molested by her father, her brother, her uncle, or her grandfather. We get cases like this almost every week of people that have been molested. And incest is a closet demon. They just hate to bring it out and repent of it, don't they? Don't you find that? They just hate to say it because they don't want to involve their relatives. But I'm telling you, it brings a curse. It brings a curse on their lives. We prayed with a girl. Well, since these meetings began, we've prayed with many people that had incest. And as Glenn said, he believes that most of us, we don't know what happened 400 generations back in our family line. We don't even know what happened 100 years back. But I have over the years, I have watched people that have been drunkards before they were saved, and they never really got this curse. They quit drinking, sure. A lot of people quit smoking, and they quit drinking, and what do they take up? Overeating, compulsive eating. Is that true? And what? coffee? What? Candy. Candy and coffee. Compulsive eating. They just have to have something in their hands. Cigarettes. All of those things like that. And the Lord is wanting to clean all of us up. And he's wanting to deliver us and set us free and have these curses broke. Have you in any way this afternoon felt that you needed these curses to be broken off of you? Let's see your hands. How many feel that they need some curses broken off of them? And inherited curses, sexual inherited curses. Maybe it's something you've never committed yourself, but it's in your family line. Divorce, illegitimate children. Now, in the Old Testament, there was no way out. An illegitimate child born could not enter into the tabernacle. There's no way out. In the New Testament, Jesus has made a way. And Glenn read that in Galatians 3:13. So this afternoon, I want him to come back. But I thought that was very interesting, and I was sitting there thinking about the terrible scandal and what how it was really administered by an ex-minister, and he also administered a glass of wine to the girl. Did you notice that? It was in the paper. Now, we don't get that program here. They took it out of the regular stations years ago because they said they were taking too much money from the churches. So we don't watch it on television, but I read an article in the paper, or else U.S. News and World Report, and it said that this alcoholic minister, and I happen to have known him, and there's many other miracle ministries that have been anointed by God. You can't say the devil anointed them. I know he didn't. I know it was a true anointing of the Lord. And they turned into alcoholics. They turned into alcoholics before they died. We had some friends in California that this man was probably about 75 or 80. He'd been a real holy man of God, we thought, and their children thought. Their children were Christians, brought up in a Christian family. And on his deathbed, he began to demand liquor and sweat, curse, and get angry because he wanted them to give him liquor. And they were all just in total disarray. And I didn't understand it in those days, but now I do because it's been visited down. It was in his bloodline. He had enough willpower. You know, willpower is strong. We're strong-willed people, aren't we? We hate to have our will broken. And there are some people that can quit smoking just by willpower. But I tell you, we need these things cast out of us. We need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed, the blood that we've gotten from our parents and our clear back in our generation, in our bloodline. We don't need cancer. We don't need tumors. We don't need all these things if there is a way out. Now, the American Cancer Society has no way out, do they? They have some things that alleviate. But I tell you, Jesus is the great alleviator. He is the great physician. He wants to heal us. He wants to change us. He wants us to obey his word. And how can we obey if we don't know it? See, we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. He brought that up this morning time and time again. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge. I never heard anything about deliverance. I grew up in an Assembly of God minister's home. My dad preached, but I never knew anything about deliverance. I never knew anything about it until at a full gospel convention. I heard it. The first time I heard it, I knew I needed it. I didn't look at anybody else. I knew I needed it. And I tell you, we all need more. We all need more. The more of the evil power that comes out of us, the more the Holy Ghost is going to take over in all our little chambers. And I believe this afternoon the Lord wants to deliver us. As a whole group, every one of you, I believe there is a way. I believe there is a way. Let's bow our heads. As Glenn said this morning, I believe, he said, I always pray the prayer and move into whatever is going on in the service. That's called flowing with the Holy Spirit. So all of you, if you please will, let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus because we are needy. We need your help, Lord.
We need your
cleansing. We need this blood of ours cleansed.
We need to be delivered.
We need these curses broken off of us.
Because you did not die in vain.
You made a way
that we can enter in. And Lord, this afternoon, we ask you to forgive us and wash us by your precious blood from all these hidden sins. These sins we don't even know about that we're carrying. Wash us by your blood. Flow over us with your cleansing power. And your word says in Joel 2, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, we call on you now. Deliver us from all evil. And we thank you. Now just allow the blood of Jesus to just sit there quietly and allow the Holy Spirit to administer the blood of Jesus. And then Glenn's going to come and we're going to administer deliverance and breaking of these curses.
Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name, that name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I stand as a priest in behalf of these people and myself this afternoon in thy presence. And according to your word, it is written that in the name of the Lord Jesus, you give us power and authority over all the powers of Satan and the power to cast out evil spirits. And it is written in Galatians 3:13 that you became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curses. And this afternoon, I apply and I appropriate. It is written that these curses can be broken from our lives and we can be set free. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over the curses of our ancestral line, and I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash us of the curses of our ancestors that we're not aware of and don't know what they've committed, the curses of incest, the curses of adultery and fornication, the curse of the bastard, the curses of not giving to you the glory and not paying our tithes and not giving to you that which is rightly yours. Father, I thank you for setting us free from these curses. If we've got involved in our own way in any way, I break the power of that curse over us in Jesus' name. I apply and I appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus. Satan, I take your rights away. I take your rights away. You have no more rights in these areas to these thy people, the people of the Lord. They're not yours anymore. They belong to the Lord Jesus. I take your rights away, and I bind your demon powers to the day of judgment, and ask, Father, you send the angels of the Lord to help us minister this afternoon to take these spirits and to keep them bound till the day that you shall judge them at the day of judgment. I bind all the familiar spirits of adultery and fornication and incest and divorce. I bind the familiar spirits of disease and infirmity. I bind them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Heart trouble, sugar diabetes, hyperglycemia,
tumors.
I bind the spirit of infirmity of mental problems. I bind the powers of mental problems, spirits of cancer. I bind you in the name of the Lord. I break your power and dominion over these people. I set them free in the name of the Lord. I break your dominion. Loose them and come out of them in
Jesus'
name.
Come out.
Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I break your power. I take your rights away. Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord to help us this afternoon. I loose these people from your dominion. Come out of them in the name of the Lord. Break your power and dominion. Come out. Come out. I break your power. Spirit of incest, the curse of incest. I break it over these families in Jesus' name. I break it from the youngest to the oldest in the name of Jesus.
Spirit of drinking wine.
Alcohol. You spirits of alcohol. I bind and break your power over these families. I break the curse of it in the family line. Anger and rage. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name.
Mockery.
Mockery. I break the curse of it. Wine. Addictions. I come against the spirits of addiction in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it in the name of the Lord. I loose them. Bestiality. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. I break the powers of it. I loose them from the curse. I loose them from the curse. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Set these people free. I loose them in the name of the Lord. I break your power and dominion. I take your rights away, Satan. You no longer have any rights in these areas of these people's lives. I loose them from your dominion. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I take authority for 30 generations back in the area of incest and the bastard. I break that curse for 30 generations over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. The other curses, I break the power of it for 10 generations back. I loose him from it in the name of the Lord. I set him free. I set the children free. I break it in Jesus' name. Spirit of divorce, I break that power and dominion in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Mental problems. Spirit of mental problems. Yes. I bind and break your dominion. I loose these people from them in Jesus' name. You spirits of mental problems, I break your power.
Yes.
Spirits of witchcraft and sorcery. Spirits of witchcraft and sorcery. I break your dominion.
Yes.
I loose these people from them. I loose myself from them. I break your dominion. Insanity.
Yes.
Spirit of insanity, I bind you. I break your dominion. Loose these people. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. I take your rights away, Satan. I take your rights away. I loose these people from your demonic powers. I loose them from them in Jesus. Witchcraft, sorcery. Witchcraft, sorcery. I break your power. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Occult, spirits of the occult. I bind and break your power in Jesus' name. I break the powers of the occult in Jesus' name. I break all the powers of the occult. Homosexuality, I bind and break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. Lesbianism, I break that dominion in Jesus' name. Unclean spirits, I bind your power, break your dominion. Come out in the name of the Lord. All you unclean spirits, come out. Pornography, for pornography, I break the curse of it. Loose these people, come out of them in Jesus' name. I break the power of it, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break the powers of it, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the authority that you give us in the name of the Lord. Loose these people. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. This, leaning on the arm of flesh. I break that curse off of us. Leaning on the arm of flesh. Instead of studying the Bible and finding out the word for ourselves, letting somebody else do it for us. Leaning on the arm of flesh. I break that curse off of us in Jesus' name. Idolizing anyone. Idolizing a minister. Or idolizing anyone. I break that curse of idolizing somebody. Instead of putting the Lord first. I break that curse over us in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. I break the power and dominion of it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Father, I come against all the areas of the occult in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit that came with Edgar Casey or Gene Dixon or Arthur Ford or Ruth Montgomery. Any of these books that's been read. I break the power of the curse of that over them in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Jesus. Father, the spirit of Rosicrucian, spiritualism, Mormonism, Christian Science, unity, theosophy, inner peace movement, spiritual frontiers, Unitarianism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Moonies, the Way, Jesus only. I break these powers and curses. I loose them from them in Jesus' name. I break the power and authority over them in Jesus' name. I break the curses off of them. I loose them from them in the name of the Lord. I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you for it. Hearing our petition, Lord. Father, forgive us for going to fortune tellers, or getting our palm read, our card reading, fortune telling, using cards to tell fortunes with, or playing with cards. Playing cards are the occult. If you have a deck of cards in your house, you have the occult in your house, because the backside of that card carries the occult symbols on it. You have a deck of that in your house, get it out of your house. Burn it. Get rid of it. Go through your house and anything the Lord shows you, get it out of there. Cleanse it that you don't feel right about. Destroy it. Get rid of it. Anyone here who's been involved with Dungeons and Dragons, I break that power over them in Jesus' name. I break the curse of it in the name of the Lord. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Telepathy, horoscopes, clairvoyance, voodoo. I break the powers of those curses in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Divining for water. Water witching. For oil or minerals. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. I break the name of the Lord. I thank you for it, Jesus.
Thank
I thank you,
Jesus.
You for it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yoga or any Eastern religions. Father, I come against those in Jesus' name. Anybody who's been involved in Eastern religions, I break that power and curse of it in Jesus' name. The spirit of Lamaze. I bind the spirit of Lamaze. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name over these people. Depression. I've come against
Jesus
depression and irresponsibility. I come against those in Jesus' name. You spirits of depression, I bind your power and I break your dominion over these people. You spirits of depression, come out. Come out in the name
Jesus
of the Lord.
Name.
I break your power in Jesus' name.
Irresponsibility. Spirit of irresponsibility. I break your power. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Rock music. I come against the rock music in Jesus' name.
I
come against rock music. I break the curse of that over anybody here who's been involved with rock music. I break that curse in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. The Ouija board, the horoscope, astrology, ESP. I break those powers in Jesus' name.
Against religious spirits and traditionalism.
Yes, yes. I come against the religious spirits.
Yes.
I bind the powers and break the curse of religious spirits in
Jesus' name.
I break those powers in Jesus' name. All the religious spirits, I bind those and break the powers of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I come against the spirits of Catholicism. Catholicism, I bind you, you spirits of Catholicism, praying to Mary, praying to the saints, fear of the Pope, fear of the nuns, the fear of the priests. I come against the spirits of Catholicism in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it over these people in the name of the Lord. You spirits of Catholicism, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break those powers in Jesus' name. I loose us from it. In spirits of denominationalism.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.